I told some of you the story of a little girl in Sunday school trying to memorize the 23rd Psalm. She was having a real tough time with the first line there. And so she came up with the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." And she got the quote wrong, but she got the message right. And God wants to speak to our hearts every day like that, through His creation, as we saw in the song, through His Word very clearly, through our conscience. And thinking about the little girl, after all, remember, discipleship is not about how much you know, but rather about how much you love. How much you love God as an act of obedience to Him. And so be that way in your love for the Lord. A.B. Simpson, who wrote a commentary on Psalm 23, a very, very precious part of the Bible, said this was the Psalm of Psalms. I don't know if he came up with that phrase, but he thought if you looked at the 23rd Psalm, it was a fantastic representation of all the other Psalms, 150 praises or prayers or testimonies to the Lord. And I think that Psalm would probably win in a Psalm contest. You know, what has changed people's life. All of God's Word does, and Psalm 23 certainly does also. He said Psalm 23 was a Psalm of Psalms because you can meet Christ in the 23rd Psalm. You can know Him as Lord. You could sense His guidance. You can know that He would restore your soul. If you face a terrible trial, go through the valley of the shadow of death or death itself, you would meet Christ in the 23rd Psalm. And also speaks well of heaven. David, who had a lot of problems and had sin in his life, needed God's forgiveness, and yet he said, "Hey, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That was the impact of the Savior on him. So the 23rd Psalm, great psalm to turn to. I remember one guy who became a buddy to one of the churches I was at. Didn't have a Bible, for one thing. Didn't know any part of the Bible, for another. And just stopped one day and was talking about a problem. And I said, "Well, how about if you read the 23rd Psalm? You know, read it once in the morning and once at night. And when in the middle of the day, if you feel just wiped out." I felt like, aspirin in the morning and aspirin at night. And somewhere in the middle, I wasn't quite sure how to give direction. But so he went home and had to show him where the psalm was, and there he read God's Word just for a couple of weeks, and the impact it made on his soul. You know, he came and sought out Christians and said, "How do I become a believer in Christ?" Just from these six simple verses that changed David's life, that were part of his testimony, and it can change your life and my life. So here we have King David writing this psalm. If you ever wanted to be a songwriter or a poet, you know, you don't have to imitate Neil Diamond there. You can imitate, he's an old singer, by the way. But you can imitate King David. Now, David knows the importance of a shepherd, okay, because he was a shepherd. And David saved and protected a lot of sheep as a shepherd boy. So he knew the rough and tumble of everyday life. It's a good lesson for us that many times in the Bible and in your life, God will jump into your shoes and say, "I know you're dealing with this, and I know what it's like, and I am like that." If you're a shepherd, the Lord can do shepherding better than you. Okay, if you love little ones, the Lord could love little ones better than you. If you're a builder or an architect, the Lord is a builder and an architect better than you. And so whatever calling you have in life, maybe in the health profession or teaching profession, you know, don't just think, "Well, that's all about me. It's about my world and what I'm doing." No, it's God's world, and what you're doing was ordained by Him so you could get to know Him. Because whatever you're doing, He could do it better. If you would pay attention to Him, you would get to know Him and see how He is. He was a good shepherd for David and the king for David also. So here's David. He hasn't become king yet, probably, when he wrote this. He knows about responsibility, knows about relying on God for everything. He did kill the giant Goliath. He did kill a bear. he did kill a lion. So David's a tough guy. You know, we read the 23rd Psalm, we think, oh, it's almost a, you know, sentimental value. That's okay. But it's written by a man who knew life and death, you know, and his life was kind of on the brink of that every day. And he has a forgiving heart, so he pretty much says, the Lord, as my shepherd, he's 100% sufficient to deal with my sins and weaknesses. And God wants us to know him like that. 100% sufficient to deal with my sins and weaknesses. The Lord's my shepherd. So who's the Lord who's faithfully helping David out? Let's look at the Lord here. And today's sermon is pretty much just about the first verse and the third verse. And the rest of the verses next week. But Jesus steps forward in John's gospel and says, I am the good shepherd. Now you can picture the folks back then, they probably heard of the 23rd Psalm and read it. Okay, God, he's our shepherd. God's our shepherd. We understand. And here's this man, this carpenter's son, you know, with dust on his feet. He comes and says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And Jesus is really identifying himself with as God the Son here. He's saying, I am the Messiah. And I laid down my life for the sheep. And I know my sheep. You ever feel like, boy, I wonder if anybody knows what's going on in my soul. It may be a confusing thing to yourself even. I don't know what direction I'm going in life. God says, I know my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me. Okay, the response of a heart toward God. And Jesus said, I give to them eternal life. So here we are, the sheep. We're walking around. We don't have eternal life. We're going to die and be apart from God forever. But instead, he comes and says, I'll give you myself, my life. God giving God to needy people. And he has the whole world in his hands. He has you and me, brother, in his hands. He has you and me, sister, in his hands. Because Jesus said, no one's going to take you out of my hand. Okay, the all-powerful hand of Christ. The good shepherd. It speaks of God's closeness. And isn't it wonderful that God, who holds the universe in his hands and the stars, he's big, holds you in his hands. He's close. Okay. And in the Old Testament, God's people, like Psalm 23, God's people were called his flock. Okay, his flock. And how the flock needs protection and fed and a shepherd. The flock will get killed unless the shepherd's, you know, protecting them. And Jesus said, fear not, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. So God would give you life forever with himself. A lot of the applications I make today are from Philip Keller's book. A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. It's a good old book that has helped a lot of people, and also from the Bible teachers Piper, McQuail, and Bible teachers, not a law firm in there. So look those guys up on the 23rd Psalm. Jesus, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep at the cross. And in Hebrews 13, he's called the great shepherd. So he's the tops, no rivals. So what's the shepherds? We took a look at him a little bit. The mighty Christ, the close Lord. What's the shepherd's relationship to the sheep? Well, here we are. You know, where do we fit in? Okay, now this is really helpful to know. The shepherd lives with the sheep. He lives with the sheep. He's just not on Mount Sinai. He's there. But he's close to the sheep. He's in the valley. He's where the wolves would come and get you. He lives with the sheep. And he's among them. He's not way far away. Or he's not way behind thinking that to catch up to those religious zealots. But he's among them. And he calls them by name. Okay, apparently, shepherds in the Middle East knew one sheep from another. They would number them and and count them with their staff and rod. And the shepherd is so close to the sheep that he smells like sheep. Okay? That's a blessing. The shepherd smells like sheep. So even when spiritually, you might say spiritually, you stink. Spiritually apart from God. You can't live life properly. Even when that's the case, Jesus is among the sheep. He smells like the sheep. In fact, he knew your sin and he paid for your sin before you did it. Did you realize that at the cross of Christ? He says, I see those sins and I'm determined that those sins won't ultimately hurt my sheep. I will take the payment for those and rescue them. And even when you're going astray, prone to wander, Jesus is not ashamed to call you His own. Isn't that great? We'll see some sheep here at the end of the sermon who went astray and got in trouble. Jesus is very interested in them, came to seek and to save them, even if it was one. Even if in a small group like this, 100 people, you know, fits in with Jesus' story. And let's say one of us, just one of us. Probably says, well, he's talking about me. No, the Lord would talk to each one of us. One of us is really, really far away from God for whatever reason. Our own intention or our own neglect. Really, really far away from God. What is the Lord's attitude toward the one? The Lord's attitude toward the one is, He's coming for you. He'll seek the whole service for you and the whole week for you and the rest of your life if need be. The one, sheep. And so he's not ashamed to call you his own. The shepherd also stands between the sheep or any harm or danger that comes. That's a comfort. So there's attack from our own soul and there's difficulties around us. Jesus said, I will walk with these through these dangers with you. He doesn't put the sheep on cloud nine. We still get hit with dangers and those things. But He is with us, so His rod and staff comfort us. What else does the shepherd do for the sheep? Here we are. We hope he keeps coming through. Someone said, Jesus said, never said, feed my giraffes. Okay? Some of us as God people, we want to be giraffes. You know, a giraffe is but way up here. Just give me the really, the high fruit, that's all I want. Jesus never said, feed my giraffes. Feed my sheep. See these ones down here? God puts the food on the lower shelves. So all the sheep can be nourished by them. And so if you're hungry and humble like a child and recognize your weakness, Jesus will feed you. Remember, after all, again, following Jesus is not about how much you know, but how much you love. See, if it was how much you know, the devil would be closer to Jesus than you. Because he knows more than you. That's how much you love. Obey God through that. Make that a part of your special calling. Being a sheep shows why, as one Bible teacher said, spiritual pride in God's people is a definite sin that cuts us off fellowship from Him. And it doesn't do much for our evangelism either. Spiritual pride, which we would be susceptible to. Who would have ever thought a sheep would be proud? Only a sheep that lost perspective. If you and I speak of Christ or salvation or serving God as if it had something to do with us ultimately, then we're not being the sheep God calls us to be. At best, we're what? Unprofitable servants. Okay? I don't know if you, the calling in your life. What are you called to be? Child of God, yes. Join heir with Christ. Unprofitable servant. We're just so glad to be following God in any way possible. That's still what the sheep. They're healthy when they're like that. So you be like that. And we're still the one beggar showing the other beggar where the bread is, even if it's in the dumpster behind McDonald's. Okay. That's how hungry sometimes sheep are. They'll say, I'll go, this is really good bread. Come and get some. God just doesn't lead us there, though. The psalm says he prepares a feast before us, and even when we're having problems in the midst of our enemies. So he loves us. He does lead us to green pastures, still waters, and he has plenty of food for your hungry soul as a little sheep of his. What else does the Lord do for the sheep? He has purchased the sheep, and he owns the sheep. He goes looking for you, and Jesus purchased you not with silver and gold. You know, you're far more valuable than that. Jesus said, hey, what do you get if you get the whole world and lose your soul? Jesus purchased you with his own life's blood. I want to die for those folks, for those people, because all we like sheep have gone astray. The Lord laid on the Messiah the sin of us all. The Lord is my shepherd. And so let's look at the part of the verse now that says, I shall not want. How often did you say that today or this week? I shall not want. How are you doing? You know, I wish it was better, you know. That's okay. Pain is not good. And if everything would just change over here, then you'd see joy flowing out of me again. No, David says, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I've found some kind of satisfaction and completeness and joy in God alone. And so John Piper said about the last part of the verse, God's people never lack anything the Lord thinks is good for them. That's a truth that we need to take with grace. God's people never lack anything the Lord thinks is good for them. So he will come through for us. I had an old friend who, as a young adult, said, I need a lot of things to be happy and contented. He was a real go-getter. And so he said, well, to be happy and contented, I have to be very successful at my work. There's nothing wrong with that. To work to honor God. But if you're living for your success, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot because your work makes a terrible idol. It's a wonderful gift, but it's a terrible idol. Just ask the Japanese culture who work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. Their suicide rate goes way up. Work is a wonderful gift. Bad idol. Bad idol. He said, I need to have a girlfriend to be happy and successful. Well, relationships are important. You take them as a gift from God. I have to have a really good car to be happy or successful. He had you can understand this one because he owned a 1978 Green Hornet. Remember that one? You won't see one down at the Norwin Plaza for antique car day. They're all perishing in the junkyard somewhere. So he wanted a new car. Had to be popular. Then he said, I turned to Christ, and to my surprise, in Christ alone I found satisfaction and completeness and a joy as a gift. Not based on these other good parts of creation. And you know, God, He gives us those other blessings too, right? But they're icing on the cake. They're not the cake. They're icing on the bread, not the bread of life. So we take those gifts and we say, thank you, God. We know how good you are, not just how good the other is. And the sad thing about taking parts of creation, by the way, you think it through, you take parts of creation, even that are really good, and you make them the source of your ultimate satisfaction, what you do is you break fellowship with God, you hurt yourself, and you take that which was to be a gift from Him, and you turn it into an idol that is sand in your hand. Don't do that with what God created. It was never meant to be the source of your satisfaction. The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. Because of Him you have everything you need. Psalm 73 expresses the same thought. The psalm writer prays, "Earth has nothing I desire besides you." Boy, what a healthy way to look at life. What are you looking for when you get out of bed, you know, and off you go? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. You're on a march to know God that day. Oh, you'll be fulfilled to no end. And because the Lord's my shepherd, I have everything I need. That's what the Living Bible says. So the question Psalm 23 asks us is this: when will the Lord be enough for you and I? When we'll say, He's the one, and He's enough. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. I find fulfillment in Him. When we put our well-being in His hand, then we find Christ as the good shepherd. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need your tender care. And you promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. And then just in closing, verse 3, He restores my soul. I'm going to use some illustrations here to help us. Now, when a sheep wandered, it would often end up falling or maybe lay down the wrong way and end up turning upside down. And it was in danger of dying when it was like that. There it is. And that sheep will die unless the shepherd comes and sets it upright. Okay? So that's where we are. We can't lift ourselves up in our own strength. The shepherd has to come and get us. Now, here's a sheep also that's, you can't see it as well, but it's in the front ground. I was wondering maybe what this sheep is thinking. You know, why don't you just get up? What are you doing over there? And ultimately, he can't ultimately help his fellow sheep. He can, you know, he can maybe yell for the other shepherd to come. That would be good. Pray when you see one of your fellow Christians looking like that. You know, don't just look at him and say, "What are you doing?" Start crying out to the shepherd on their behalf. It's the best thing you could do for your fellow sheep. And here's one more picture. I mean, this is the sheep. Apparently, you know, they just move their legs. They can't turn themselves over. Don't have the muscular structure. Again, you're wondering what the other sheep is thinking. Maybe he's thinking, if you were smart as I was, you wouldn't be in that boat. But that sheep will die unless this happens. Here comes the shepherd. And Jesus said, when that sheep that's on its back can't help itself, that he would seek it out, put that sheep on his shoulders, and bring it back to safety. And not only that, he'd call everybody else and say, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And so this morning, you say, this looks like me spiritually. If you're the sheep standing up, good for you. You know, you want to stand with Christ. No, any time you're standing, it's because of Him. And be careful if you're standing so you don't fall. You think you stand, but if you're fallen in spirit or physically, or you know, boy, I'm destitute without the Lord. Then He will come. And He'll say, "I got you." And look, even these other sheep look happy, don't they? They're saying, "Yes, the shepherd has done. He is the good shepherd. We shall not want." And for you and I, we want Jesus to pick us up so we could know His strength. And just have that heart attitude. He restores my soul. So let the Lord come get you. Let's pray and sing together. Jesus, as a good shepherd, would you come and pick us up? Whatever part of our lives are where we are on our back, no strength to get up. We gladly acknowledge that to you. And Lord, even as one of the Bible teachers said, even what we could produce on our own wool, for some reason that wasn't even allowed in the Holy of Holies. So what we can even do for ourselves, it just, we need your intervention and forgiveness. So would you lift your dear loved ones here today, Jesus, and sense them. You picked them up and you carried them out of church, and how glad they were for your rescue mission. Just be close to each one, and might your honor yourself among your little flock. In Christ's name we pray.